You people should see in this office. It's amazingly crowded. Okay, right.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of... What the hell are we doing? Oh, Heroes.
Hi, this is Joe Field, the founder of Free Comic Book Day and Flying Colors Comics in Concord, California, and you are listening to the Comic Pop Library.
I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Heroes. I'm Richard, along with
Lenny,
and we are brought to you by Comic Pop Library. And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at The Wicked and the Divine, the Faust Act. It is written by, let me get here, Kieron Gideon, and I could be mispronouncing this by all counts. Artist Jamie McKelvey, colorist Matthew Wilson, letterer Clayton Cowles. And it is put out by Image, and we are looking at the first collected trade of this work. And it's, the art style is kind of more of a softer, muted color. It's not really bright colors, so it's not going to glare out at you like, oh, look at me, look at me. It's more of a muted color, so it's...
I think they needed to do that for all the colors they use. I mean, it would be really kind of hard on you if it wasn't muted.
True. And
I like the way it's done.
Here's what it says real quick on this one. Every 90 years, 12 gods return as young people. They are loved. They are hated. In 2 years, they are all dead. It's happening now. It's happening again. That's your little bit of snippet for the book.
Okay. What do we have to say about this one?
This was set in England. And it's a 2014 publication. I don't know if I mentioned that, but it is set in England around a young girl of Laura, age roughly 17-ish. I don't know if it actually said her name or not.
Her age, you mean? Yeah, she still lives with her parents, but she doesn't seem, they don't seem to have much control over her. She's got to be getting close to legal.
And then there's a reporter named Cassandra who comes into play as well. Mm-hmm. And then the main treat of the book is all the different gods that are brought in. And if Lenny wants to, he has some of the books. I have some of the names.
Okay. Well, yeah. The very first deity in the, now the, these are deities that are reborn every 90 years. So, but when they're reborn or re-realized, I guess, because they are manifested into people that are obviously already alive.
Yeah, that's what I say. Cause it's like, evidently they take over the person's body.
That person always was them, or something like that.
Until,
yeah, and it's a set point in time, because one of these, Minerva, which is the Roman version of Athena, okay. I think, correct? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think that's it. Well, she has the owl, so it's got to be like an Athenian reference, but it's Minerva. I think that's the Roman, or may just be another Greek name. But anyway,
it's a god.
She's only 12. So most of them are older teenagers to young adults, between their teens and late teens and early to mid 20s. One of the balls might actually be like closing on 30.
Yeah.
So the phenomenon, the gods, I guess, pick people of their choosing, and it's just at a certain time that this manifestation happens. And then those people, along with whatever god they've become, yes, and apparently in 2 years, they all die.
It's one of those, they burn so hot and fast, it's over with quick.
And it's apparently, it's some, there's, okay, so there's a rock. Say it again.
I say Amaterasu.
Yeah, Amaterasu. Okay, so there's one a 13th kind of cheat deity that apparently doesn't go away. And it's constantly manifested in this ancient fossilized woman. And she's like a protector, a guardian, and a killer of these gods. After the 2 years, any of them... See, I didn't understand it at first. In the very beginning of the comic, it's the very first chapter is called Once Again. And it starts in 1923, which is, I guess, exactly 90 years before...
The current story?
Because it's 2014 in here, I think. Or maybe it's 2013. But either way, the months line up, and it's the right year. And so they're sitting around this table, and there's four of them with this old lady. And it doesn't really say who these people are. These aren't the main characters. These are from... And then there's all these skulls sitting at different chairs. And I didn't realize that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... Yeah, so there's... All 12 gods are there, but 8 of them. So even though these are quote-unquote gods, they can die mainly through fighting with each other before the 2 years is up. But then this whole scene in the beginning basically shows you that when their 2 years is up, their 2 years is up, and they got to go. And so that's what happens to these four remaining in this first scene. So that kind of gives you a... What the hell is going on here? And then it goes to, 1st of January 2014. So it's not quite 90 years later. What was that date?
Was it 23, you said?
Oh, okay. It's the 31st of December. So how does that work? Because of leap? I don't really understand. But it's not, the dates don't line up. It happens between the end. Okay, so I guess.
Was it 23? Was that what's in the date?
And then in the... Yeah, there's a lot of... Okay, this book has a lot of symbology. The people definitely did their research on these mythologies or these traditions or whatever. These names are obviously authentic.
13 would be 90 years from 23.
Well, you know, I know that, but that's what I'm saying. It's December 31st till... Yeah, it's not because it's just... It made me think it was by a year because it's December 31st and January 1st, so it's... It's the next day, so like it's all already been going on for a day, I guess, at least. Or it's like, I don't really know about the... It's about 90 years later, people. We don't know if it's exactly or just close, but 90 years later, they come back. And this time, apparently, they're not normally, over the centuries, they've not normally been open about who they were.
Yeah, it's like the old ladies, like if you... tell who you are, you're going to die early.
Yeah, but and it's pretty much true because of just the way things go down. But a lot of in the 2014 installment, these gods come back and they all go public. So everyone knows who they are. People follow them. They all live in London somehow. very convenient for the English. They have first dibs on all the gods. And the weird thing is like there's...
The Nexus is there with Stonehenge. Hey.
Yeah. And that's probably, I mean, like I said, I think it's a really good comic because, you know, it's long enough that you're getting a really good section of the story. It's more of a graphic novel, but it's only part one. And the artwork's great. It's real pretty artwork. And I think Richard mentioned them muting the color in this. It is muted. And I think they did it because they use so much color, it would be offensive.
If
it was brighter. Yeah, it's very soft. It's bright colors muted to be very soft. And it's real gorgeous artwork. So yeah, it starts out with one of these fangirls of these now famous gods. And she basically travels to where they're going to be. And a lot of them are singers or just... Apparently this one she's seeing in the beginning of the story is just standing there kind of cawing or like barking or something. But since she's a goddess, you know, yeah, it's supposed to be singing, but like it's supposed to be like one sustained note the whole time for hours. But it mesmerizes everyone that watches her, and she's like supposed to be... so awesome that people can't stand it. And then so it goes from her, and then this fangirl that goes to this concert, she kind of like gets knocked out or by something, and then meets Lucy, who's another one of the gods that she's already been to see as an entertainer. She's a professional entertainer. And then we find out that Lucy is Lucifer, a very famous Christian mythological deity person. Obviously this it doesn't have, it's not using the traditional Lucifer.
Oh, no.
But it is, they use a lot of the Judeo-Christian, like they use Baal, they use Bahamut, they use characters from the Bible that, you know, but these aren't, you know, this isn't, she's bad, but she isn't the devil, and doesn't, it doesn't portray, you know, she's naughty, she's supposed to be rebellious.
And that's one of, I mentioned the reporter Cassandra earlier, is one character that gets brought in eventually.
Mm-hmm.
She's a non-believer. She's like, you guys aren't gods.
Yeah, she thinks it's all fake. The reporter is trying to prove these gods as a sham, which according to this comic book is not the case. And, you know, and one thing I mentioned before we started taping to Richard was that none of these deities are from the, what would you call it, the noble side of the pantheon. Oh. There's no Zeus here. There's right. There's no heroes. These are all the bad guys. I mean, and, you know, I don't know all of the mythology really well, but the ones I do know, for example, Baal and Lucifer, obviously, for, you know, anyone that knows anything about Christianity, those are bad guys. And then, like, Woden, I think, is a Wiccan or, like, traditional kind of Celtic deity.
Sekhmet is Egyptian.
Sekhmet's an Egyptian bad guy, like not a good guy. And Tiamat is as well, right? Tiamat's another one they use. And then they use some Indian ones that they don't use Set, and they don't use a lot of the really obvious ones. No Loki. There's no Loki. There's no Set. There's none of the ones that are traditionally used in the comic world as the evil gods. Unless they're just, in, you know, made up, but they use a lot of the lesser known. And then, of course, you know, the Christian ones are very prevalent. And they do have powers. They all have obvious powers that they showcase in the book, both passive powers, and then some of them have really outrageous physical powers. That's a lot of, they're almost like superheroes.
And yeah, they are. It's kind of their way. And the story revolves around using those powers. And like I said, we said the old lady is telling them, you better not, we're supposed to be undercover. But
so she allows them to go public, I guess, but they are only allowed to show certain powers.
But then
they can mesmerize, they can make themselves float and fly around and do anything Chris Angel can do. At least with a camera. But they can't, you know, click their fingers and make anyone's head explode or anything. That will get them in trouble.
And that's where the story.
Yeah, that's where our story starts. Is one of the gods gets caught by the public using a very nefarious power. It's Lucy, and she is detained. And you think
she denies
the whole story. She denies that she did this, and I pretty much believe her. I don't think
she thinks she's being set up.
The thing is like she's the kind of deity in this story that, if she did it, she would have copped to it just to get the reaction out of you.
True. True. And, like, and that character, out of all the characters, is probably the most likable of the gods.
She's definitely the most, gives more of her story. She's more humanized. So
the others feel like they're above everybody else. Where she's
more... And here's what it's not confusing, but I think that's this whole that they are only born every 90 years into somebody and then that person has to die after you. I think it's all a sham. I think there's more going on because in the end, I'm not going to give it away. In the end, something happens. There's a twist, of course, that makes you think and second guess everything they've told you to that point. So they are here. They have showed up after 90 years. This Ana Teresa, however you say it, I don't think I said it right. She definitely has some control over them.
Crone.
The crone definitely has real control over them, and that's something that you figure out too late. It is kind of a... It's very what I would consider like...
It's a book that kind of makes you think probably more than what normal comic books would.
I'm trying to think of the word. It's not like in art it would be called deco. Like it's very eye-catching and very, yeah, it's thought, there it is, thought-provoking. You have to think about this because this is not a clear story laid out for you. Hey, this is what's going. There's lots of lies. Your eyes are tricking you. You don't know what you're reading. You don't know what you're seeing. This is it's an art piece, and I think it's really well done. The artwork, like I say, we've mentioned what it kind of looks like, but it's real crisp, clean, well drawn art. Very pretty characters. A lot of color. And I think that they just had a lot of fun. I think whoever did it, this is another story where I don't really know because I haven't done the research, but I think they have, and I'm going to go with, they pick these particular deities for good reasons. And this being the first installment, I think that the whole series is going to be a lot of fun, and you're going to learn a lot about these deities, and there's going to be a lot of action and a lot of surprises too. Cause I don't think that we have the whole story. I don't know the whole story yet.
And I know there's at least one more volume, but to me, this feels like a finite series. It'll have an ending.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This one won't be a continuation.
You're not going to get to 36 or 647 or anything, but after three or four volumes, I think you're going to get a real clear. And see, some of them, it doesn't even really show them. And some of them, it only shows them enough to give you a taste or a tease. So, eventually, I think you're going to get more of a picture of all their stories, and you're going to know a lot more. But it does do a great job of introducing the group and making you want to know more about these deities and want to know more about these characters. I was even kind of interested in, what was going to happen with Cassandra. I mean,
oh yeah,
I've always been kind of drawn to the doubters and the
that's what I was going to say. That's who I was drawn to as my favorite character was the Cassandra one.
You like the skeptic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked Laura. I really liked Laura. I like Cassandra too. She was all right. I liked Lucy. I couldn't help it.
Well, that's why I said she's the most likable person in the book, surprisingly.
Of the deities, Lucy is so cool. But I like Laura too, because Laura, the main protagonist, which is basically just after stuff goes down, she starts really befriending and helping Lucy and caring a lot about the Prince of Darkness.
Possibly her own detriment, but yep. You don't know what'll happen.
Probably to her own detriment, I think, is that the thing is it shouldn't be, but there's more going on than they're telling us. This is a nefarious thing going on here. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of fun and something that I will definitely want to finish and read the entire story.
I'm wondering if eventually they might bring in some of the what we term the nobler gods, because it is called the Wicked and the Divine.
Yeah, where's the Divine?
Yeah.
Well, and
that's one of the things, if maybe that's going to be in future volumes.
And I think we don't really know a lot about Tara, just what Lucy said about her.
Yeah.
So that's what you call a unreliable narrator. So the narrator is giving you information, and it's a pack, like Fight Club experience. Pack of lies from the beginning. There never was a Tyler Durden. He's true. Tyler Durden. You decide. But the point is that what you were told from the beginning was not the truth, and they do it on purpose. And so there's this Tara is a big mystery to me, and then this one of my favorites, even though she definitely wasn't very likable, was the Morrigan.
Okay.
The Morrigan, right now. I think what they're doing there, if I'm guessing here, but I know a little bit about Arthurian legend, and I think what they're doing is giving a modern three-part single-person entity jump at Morgan Le Fay, Morgana, and the Morgraine characters from Arthur. In Arthurian legend, and there's these three main fairies. One of them is his half-sister, Morgraine, that he has Mordred with. And then in other legends and in other stories, Morgan Le Fay comes into play a lot, especially in the later Arthurian stuff, the modern stuff. And then there's also Morgana, the evil sorceress that was the enemy of Merlin since before Arthur.
Right.
So they were all involved and entwined in Camelot affairs in the Arthurian legends. It seems like, because she appears as a dark clad woman with piercings and a pretty interesting design on her face. You'll figure that out about all the gods have their own little designs and trademarks, I think, is what they're doing. Like with their faces, they're trying to become a known icon in their time.
Which is part of that realm is like, to be,
I don't
powerful.
Know if it's something that just automatically, because it seems like it automatically happened to Lucy, like that's just how it happens to them.
I kind of
because she just burst into flames, and when she was back, right. She had the white hair with, and her icon is the white hair black streak. Right.
And one of the things I kind of look at is after reading American Gods, it's like, and some of the other stories that deal with this, you have to have the followers. The more followers you have, the more stronger you are.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I kind of see, you know, like you said, branding, you know, that they're working with today's culture. They're,
yeah. And exactly. These are modern gods. These are not your father's gods. These are new gods for today's kids. You know, they want to get out there and get their picture on a t-shirt and their brand. So, yeah, and that's a cool aspect of it, too. I think the modernization of all the myth and lore, it's I think they've done it very well. And, I mean, I'm interested in I want to know what happens. And I think that it's one of those stories that you're glad that you read it, and then you're, like, not glad because you're like, damn it. Because it does make you think. And it makes you wonder, not necessarily for me, like, I want to know, like, if the, well, you know.
It's one of those old concepts, you know, oh, I'm cheering for Lucifer. I'm not supposed to do that.
Exactly. It's kind of, yeah. And then I want to know what's going on with these other gods. Are they going to be like, are they all going to be the pretentious stuck-ups that we've been introduced to through Lucifer? Because the ones that she concentrates on are pretty much the ones she doesn't like.
True.
And then there's this Terra, again, that is supposed to be super powerful and I think, you know, yeah, it was the Morrigan. She was never shown.
No.
And she's supposed to be super awesome.
Towards the very end of this first volume, more.
But it doesn't ever show her. It just talks about her a little bit. And then there's others that aren't even mentioned. So it may have every name in here somewhere, but they definitely don't show them all together at once ever. So I don't know if any. And then one guy, Ball, says, I'm not Ball Hammond, I'm Ball Hamad. So I don't know if they keep the name and, you know, and there was already a Ball in previous years that people remember the way he was like, if he was famous too, or if there's multiple incarnations of some of these gods at the same time. They could be doing a lot of stuff. And it's. I know that was done on purpose. I know it wasn't a mistake. So I
because they purposely, like you said, they mentioned no, I'm not him.
One of the coolest ones is it Mephisto? What's his name? There is one of them hides behind a mask. There's Bahamut right there. He's with the Morrigan. And see, okay, the one Bahamut. He could be a demon. He may not be an actual god. I think he's just like, because Lucifer said that she could make demons, or basically her, just like she could give powers to her followers, because they're still mortal people. But again, they can die, and the gods for sure will in 2 years. But like, so I think this one fellow that we are introduced to
sucks to be a god.
It really does in this day and age. You get killed real fast.
2 years and you're done.
Yeah, apparently this guy's just a demon. He's not actually one of the gods. But
is that a reflection of modern society too? People don't have enough attention span.
Yeah, they just get rid of them. The thing is like the cycle of a one hit wonder celebrity is pretty much, you know. If like any of those bands like Chumbawamba that you really knew who they were for like 2 years while they were playing out that one song until you hated it and never wanted to hear it again, even though it was a good song to start with.
I get back up.
That's I think these are pop gods. You only get them in small doses and then they're gone for a long, like more than your lifetime, maybe. Yeah. So.
Was it, I get knocked down and then I get back up, something like that. Was their song?
Yes.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Tub thumping. Didn't know if I was right or not.
It was called tub thumping, which is a traditional English word for getting pissed. For bar crawl. That's their word for bar crawling, is actually what I meant. Which, of course, means drinking alcohol in America. Getting pissed. In England, getting pissed is getting not drunk. Getting pissed in America. Getting pissed in America and getting pissed in England are almost the opposite. Because when you get pissed in America, you need to go have a drink. And when you get pissed in England, you've already done
for a while.
The things we learn.
But I never thought about that until you mentioned that. That popped in my head. 2 years. Attention span.
They're pop gods. Yeah. They're... And It's like somebody figured out, well, we can't keep gods around all the time because that would be annoying. But let them come around for 2 years, be real bad, and then make sure there's someone there that's just an old biddy, and she can just pop them off when the time comes. And, yeah, so when they put this is totally off subject. When they put this god, Lucy, in jail, I'll give away this one little detail. They put her in finger cuffs.
Oh, yeah.
Because when they snap their finger, they can make you explode, fool. So, yeah, they're like, okay, well, lock her fingers up so she can't, you know, snap her fingers. Well, the trick with that is she's a god.
A god.
So, yeah, guess what? I'm sitting there looking at those finger cuffs thinking, when are you going to let yourself out? And then, you know, you just read the comic and you'll see what I'm talking about.
True.
I think it was really good, and I'm definitely going to... Oh, there he is. That's the one I was looking for earlier. What's this guy's name? Yeah, see him?
Call back. Yes.
He speaks in a computer voice. He's very creepy. That isn't Sockmet, is it?
It's been a while since I've read it, so I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Yeah, and see, I don't think through the entire thing they ever show all the symbols of all the gods.
I think on like the chapters. Said, they'll eventually draw it out, and then they'll get them all eventually.
Yeah, see, there's a lot of symbology in this book, and I'll just, these are the symbols that I can see on this page. There's a sun, and then there's the pentagram, not the pinnacle. And then there's a jaguar or puma. And this is the symbol for Bahamut. I know it's two swords crossed with a goat skull. And then obviously Minerva is an owl. And then that winged helmet. Maybe winged Woden. Helmet? And then there's a skull with a raven mask. I'm not sure who that's supposed to be. A different kind of star. Comedy, tragedy, mask, and a goat, which that could also be Lucifer, so I'm not really sure. But that's not all of them. There's two missing. That's the most complete set I've found and in this book. And see, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, there's still two missing in the last chapter, so they don't want you to know all the gods yet. And that's half the fun.
They'll bring them out, by golly.
It definitely is a story that is original.
It's a coming out party.
This is a very original comic, and I've always thought that Image was awesome about bringing out really original work and innovative, and I think that this is just another of their...
It's a good story, but I think it's going to have a limited audience, I'm afraid.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a large cross-section of people that are just going to be too small-minded about the names. They're not going to accept a hero named Lucifer.
Well, just the fact that it's an unconventional story, graphic novel, all the way around.
Yeah, in every way it can be. Well, and that, yeah, it's a lot of talking. So then there's going to be people that are totally into the, you know, like, yes, let's worship Woden, but they're like, you don't see any of Woden killing anybody. So the actual followers of Woden probably wouldn't give a crap about this comic.
But most of your.
Woden was a pretty bad guy.
Yeah. The majority of your graphic novel readers are in it for the action, not the drama per se. And that's one of the things with Image. They are trying to experiment with different stories, different storytelling. So that's why I like Image a lot, because they are experimenting. They are bringing out stories.
They're innovative. They don't just do the same old superhero in a costume. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I love me some Spider-Man. I love me some superhero in a costume. Always have, always will. But
Batman. Spider-Man. No, it's Batman.
Spider-Man. I like Batman, too. I'm very torn. Let's get on that. So let's get on that rant for a second. Batman or Spider-Man?
We'll do that for later. We'll save that for a later date.
But this Richard must be getting tired. He doesn't want to talk about Batman. So.
Yes, this is one that will definitely appeal to...
Maybe a smaller audience.
Smaller audience. I think you'll pull in
You know who you are. You're out there.
Your fantasy readers, your...
Anyone that really loves mythology,
it's more fantasy.
Anyone that really loves mythology, and there's mythology buffs, and you go to any mythology convention, this is going to be a hot sell item. Yeah. They combine a lot of cool mythologies, and like I said, I don't know because I'm not as versed in it as I wish I was because I like mythology. But I bet you the person that wrote this, the people that worked on this, were very versed in actual mythologies and followed.
Or they Google it.
But they're very good at Google, and they're very good at they're doing their Google research. You know, I never understood why colleges don't accept Google as a valid source. And my argument has always been colleges have to accept that whatever the most popular notion about something may not be correct, but you know, they do pretty much accept, you know, widely accepted information. Plus, unlike Wikipedia, that only gives you the most popular answer and the most recent most popular answer.
Probably with Wikipedia,
Google gives you them all. And that's what I'm like, how can you argue that Google isn't a credible source? Because they can't cite all their sources. Well, no, but they have every possible link to the word on the internet. So somewhere is a credible source behind it. And
just got to find it.
What I would do is in school, I would use Google and I would just use Google illegally. And then wherever Google took me, I would get my source information from them. I couldn't get it from Google. I had to go further.
Okay, so, kids, don't follow Lenny's example now.
You can use Google. You can use Google to do your schoolwork. Don't listen to Richard. Google is credible. They matter. It's the modern oracle. Just accept it.
I think that's going to wrap it up for us for this time. We're having a Google lot of knows fun all. Here.
Google will be in a later version of this comic book.
Yep.
We're having too much fun god. Here.
Google will be the next god.
The 12th god is Google. It's Tara and then Yahoo. Or what's the new one? Bing.
Bing?
Yeah.
I'm Bing. How are you today?
It's like the creepy search engine.
Yeah. Hit my search button. Anyway, we're having fun. Hope you guys have had fun. Again, this is one. If you're in a large library, you should be able to find it there. Pick it up. I think you'll enjoy it. If anybody out there wants to get in touch with us, you can contact us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. Send us an email. We'll read it on the air and do a little feedback that way. So come join the fun with us. But that's going to do it for us this time. We'll catch you all later. Bye.
Bye.
I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.